Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Today, you saw it, I hit my highest poll numbers since I got elected. Because the American people, and frankly, people all over the world, know it's a hoax. They understand it. They know it's a hoax.
A president should not be able to defeat an investigation into his wrongdoing by endlessly litigating the matter in court, particularly when they're in court saying you can't use the court to enforce your subpoenas.
All right, if I had a crystal ball, I would tell you right now you heard Adam Schiff, and then who, of course, is one of the House managers, the Democratic congressman from California, and before that, the president, how excited he was, poll numbers were up, that kind of thing. And by the way, Kate Delaney, thanks for joining me on this show. If you've never been here, welcome on board. So it does look like it's over, because the key swing votes that the Democrats thought they had, they aren't there. As in a little poll of those who said they might vote to have witnesses, have gone in the other direction. So it looks like Mitch McConnell has won the coin flip ahead of the Super Bowl, and I don't think that it'll continue. We'll see what happens, because I don't know for sure, because then you got to take the vote and move forward, but it certainly doesn't look that way. It is about numbers, and the numbers aren't there. The Democrats don't have them, and they didn't have the Republicans, apparently, who were going to jump over the line. So the president was at an Iowa rally, and he was obviously taunting the Democrats before the caucuses, and said, we are beating them all. And what he was referring to, because, you know, if you look at the polls, in the Iowa presidential polling, and the president pumped it out, he said, great poll in Iowa where I just landed for a big rally. In the head-to-heads, the president wins every single matchup against who could possibly go up against him as far as the Democrats are concerned. And the one who had the best chance would be, according to this poll that came out, would be Joe Biden, but he would get 44% to 46% for the president. So here you go. You got the Senate Republicans who are expected to have the deciding vote on Friday on whether to bring the impeachment trial to an end or to extend it further by allowing witnesses. Then you have the New York Times poll, which put him against every one of the Democrats, and he beat them all. According to the poll, he was ahead of all the contenders. So how about that? A big week for the president, that's for sure. One of the things he talked about in Iowa, I'm not surprised, is he talked about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA trade deal he signed on Wednesday to replace NAFTA, as well as the U.S.-China trade deal, and how it would help the farmers, because the farmers were in trouble, as we all know. Very sad what was happening on farms and what was happening with crops, etc. So now there has been a flip there, and that is a very, very good thing, thank goodness. But that's it. I mean, you know, we'll see what that vote yields, but that's how it's looking for now anyway. In the meantime, if that all wraps up, one thing that has not been wrapped up, speaking of China, is this coronavirus. In fact, the U.S. is telling all of us, if you had any plans to go to China on business or for anything else, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak of this new virus that has spread to a dozen countries, including ours, including the United States, they said, don't travel. State Department is telling telling Americans currently in China to consider departing using commercial means, and that all non-essential U.S. government personnel defer travel in light of the coronavirus. Because, of course, there's going to be all kinds of restrictions on anybody who goes there, so that doesn't make any sense. And two, there's too many question marks. There's already 200 people who have died at the point of origin, and it's so highly contagious that it could be very, very grim if this continues. You know, it's interesting because you had American Airlines pilots that are actually suing to halt China flights. You have passengers who are allowed off the ship at an Italian port after the virus scare. So this is not a movie. This is real life, and people are shook up by it, realizing when they keep seeing the death toll climb that this isn't where they want to be. So you had 6,000 people on a cruise ship in Italy that were allowed off because they announced there was a Chinese passenger with the symptoms of coronavirus, although they had tested negative. The 54-year-old and her husband were held in isolation on the ship, but the test did confirm she was not infected. But as soon as that spread, worse than the virus, everybody wanted off. I want off. That's it. She was flown from Hong Kong to join the cruise, spiked a fever while on board, and that was it. They took the samples to a hospital in Rome that specializes in infectious diseases. They were negative, but the passengers began getting off late anyway. I'm out. Call it a day. I don't think I want to risk it anymore, because you can imagine what was happening as far as the conversations on the deck about, wow, what's going on. And then you have the Pilots Association for American with this lawsuit in Texas asking a judge to compel American Airlines to halt all flights to China because of the crisis there. The Times really broke the story, the Los Angeles Times, and they said, listen, the Allied Pilots Association represents 15,000 pilots, and they want an injunction to stop the flights because there's just not enough information about the outbreak. And, of course, it falls on the same day that I told you about the World Health Organization declaring a public health emergency. So they don't want to jump on that, net realizing, you know, you've got American operates daily round-trip flights between LAX and Hong Kong, also Dallas, Fort Worth, and Shanghai, Beijing, and Hong Kong as well. So you can be in close contact with the CDC or anybody else, and you can take necessary precautions. But this is the whole thing. It's about safety, and especially on planes. Think of what we already talk about with circulated air and how easy things can spread. Just absolutely disastrous if you were to be on some sort of flight where somebody had the coronavirus. How many people on that flight would get sick as a result of it, and certainly flying into it. That's not where the pilots want to be. They don't think that it's worth that risk. Coming up on the flip side, it's all about the numbers, a fun segment I like to call We Can Count.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
We can count at the top. I don't like this number. Troops with concussions because of that attack. 64. Yeah, it's now risen. They're being treated for concussion symptoms after Iran's missile attack. Remember that base? It looked like it was shattered to smithereens. It was miraculous to me when I looked at it that there weren't deaths. But, of course, something has happened. You've got this TBI, traumatic brain injuries, is not good. So after being diagnosed, rather, with that, 39 members have returned to duty, and then others have been taken away, 21 plus, for further evaluation. And just as a reminder, how did this happen? What happened? What are you talking about? Well, remember, the attack was a retaliation for the president ordering the strike that killed the Islamic Revolutionary Guard commander Qasem Soleimani, who was leading a U.S.-designated terrorist organization. He had plans to attack some embassies. That's one of the things that we were told, of course. But, yeah, so that's not good with the whole concussion thing. Of course, and none of it's good. A traumatic brain injury, the dizziness, the fatigue, the nausea, balance, the headaches. Yeah, you're not, if it's really bad, you're not on active duty. There's absolutely no way. Just talk to anybody who has been through that in any form. Not good. Okay, so let's move to something a little bit different. And when I say a little bit different, you know, one of the things that's been interesting that's been talked about is the leaks, the White House leaks, right? And you know, where are the leaks coming from, and you know, what's happening how do people know certain things, and just in general, information. I'll call them information leaks in D.C., right? Just like you hear ahead of time, oh, well, these Republican senators, that this is how they're going to vote. And then, of course, that's not what happens. So what is really interesting is the you look at the Defense Intelligence Agency and the employee charged with leaking classified info to journalists, right? So you don't forget about that. That only happened a handful of months ago, heading at the end of the year. Henry Freeze, just 30, was caught red-handed with sensitive national security information, according to the Justice Department. So they say that they are cracking down on leakers who provide materials to the news media and to the public, because what happened was this information was leaked weapon systems leaked to two journalists, including a reporter who was involved romantically with the 30-year-old who had the info and leaked it. Wow. And how has it been since then? I mean, what's the crackdown been like since then? So here's what the deal is. Now, in the offices, certainly, of any sensitive information, especially the Defense Intelligence Agency, they're all over this. That happened in late October. And because of that, and the reporters was somebody from CNBC and somebody from MSNBC, they cover national security, they were able to tweet things out and how would they know certain information. There are more searches from what I understand, and looking at employees in a much different light because of what happened with Freeze, who was an intelligence contractor and was a counterterrorism analyst after he wrapped up his contracting and they liked him. And then look what happened. So they're taking a look even at policies of contractors and how they're pulling them and hiring them for these, you know, positions because of the sensitivity of the documents. And I remember when that happened and you just looked at it like, wait, where did that come from? How did they get this top secret information? How would they have details about foreign countries' weapon systems? One way, somebody who had their hands on the info was able to get it past any kind of security. And that was the other thing that was being looked at. And supposedly that's been beefed up to a much better percent. And now you're not seeing as much of that specifics in that direction that are being leaked out. But I think you're always going to have leaks. Somebody's disgruntled, somebody gets seduced, or somebody wants to be seduced or whatever, and then they end up with information that you don't know how in the heck they could have gotten that information. All right, on the Hill, there was a back and forth between Senator Rand Paul, and Chief Justice Roberts, because we're talking about the whole whistleblower thing. And Rand Paul said he rejected how the House Democrats, he said, had overblown the whistleblower protection deal and went back at Roberts. And he said afterwards, my question didn't identify anyone as a whistleblower or refer to anyone as a whistleblower. My question discussed two Obama partisans who worked for the National Security Council. One of them now works for Adam Schiff. One of them is someone who was involved in the origins of the impeachment inquiry. But the two names could be seen on his tweets, just saying they were friends for a long time. So he said there are three people who work for Schiff's staff that used to work together at the National Security Council, and they all know Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who testified against the president in the House impeachment inquiry, and his twin brother. Okay, so we know it's all in that mix there. Pretty much in revealing that, we know it's all there. And one thing that Paul said is he supported, you know, expresses support for whistleblowers, including Ed Snowden. He said if this was a concocted plot to bring down the president, that's not what the whistleblower statute was about. But also the whistleblower statute doesn't guarantee that you're anonymous. It guarantees you're not fired, which he is right about that. Because of all of this started with the whole whistleblowing thing. So the question surrounding, oh, is this somebody connected to Schiff? Well, you can see where that lands. The three people, what happened, what are we talking about here? And then who would be the witnesses that would be called if there's the vote for it, but it doesn't look like the vote's going to be there anyway. So the idea of having the Republicans saying, well, we want the whistleblower and the Bidens, it's not going to happen because most likely the vote is not going in the favor of continuing the impeachment hearings. They would wrap up and then there would be the State of the Union address. So that would all go away. There would be the move to just move for acquittal. Opposing the witnesses in the impeachment trial would be a win for the Republicans, and they would be eager to push that forward. And then, of course, you've got, as I'll say again, you have the State of the Union address, so then that would become front and center. This is interesting when we talk about we can count. I saw a story the other day that the Titanic's wreckage was actually hit by a submarine 6 months ago, but it went unreported. A submarine smashes into the Titanic? What are you kidding? But it happened. It was a two-person submersible sub, one of those little subs, and it did. They were doing some research. They were filming a documentary. And during a series of dives between July and August, this past summer, last summer, the sub was overwhelmed, they say, by intense currents, accidentally made contact with the seafloor, and on one occasion, the wreck. So if there is any damage, they don't know. They don't know if there was any damage, that's what they said. But they said when they did accidentally make contact with it, once they were near the starboard hull breach, a big piece of the hull sticks out. So then they saw a red rust stain on the side of the sub. Whoops. Hey, that's the Titanic. I don't know. Do you rub that out? I mean, do you paint over that? What do you do? If you're the EYOS and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they're responsible for that whole site. I don't know. Is that what you do? Do you rub it out? I'm not sure. Stay with us.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
President Trump holding a rally in Des Moines, Iowa, as the Senate continues the final question and answer portion of the impeachment trial.
But it's all about their debates. They don't care about the farmer. Everything out here, they love Trump, and you should love Trump, with what I've done. So we're going to win the great state of Iowa.
In USA News for your health, the CDC says 200 Americans who've returned from the epicenter of the coronavirus in Wuhan, China, are not under quarantine, but they've agreed to remain at March Air Reserve Base in Riverside County, California, for further monitoring. Rear Admiral Dr. Nancy Knight, the director of the CDC's Division of Global Health Protection, telling reporters,
"There were no individuals that responded to the questions indicating that they were high risk. We're reassessing that now."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately, that's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
In his hand, place your bets now, 'cause this could go on and on and on and on.
Obviously, this is a huge weekend with the Super Bowl. And we got the 49ers, of course, and the Chiefs. The Chiefs, a point-and-a-half favorite. I've been talking a bunch about this. We did our Nail the Score contest the other day. Everybody picked the Chiefs. How about that? Waiting in the wings, Steve Budin from PickNation.com. He's a handicapping expert. Steve, thanks for popping on.
Good to be here. You know, it's exciting, but it's also a little sad for those of us in the business. It's like the prom, you know, the last dance. You know what I mean? I much prefer the first week of football than the last, but, you know, it is exciting, and I'm here in Miami, and it's amazing here. Everybody's real pumped up for the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do work for CBS Sports, so I do a talk show for them, and of course the talk show that you're on now, and we talk about sports in this talk show, and in my role I feel the very same way. In fact, this is one of the few Super Bowls I haven't been to. So that's great. Paint the picture for a quick second. What is Miami like? It's just insane, isn't it, right now?
Well, it's insane normally. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Miami is like Vegas without the excuse. It's a sunny place for shady people. And then all of a sudden you go ahead and you get a Super Bowl event like this one, and you know, it gives people an extra added excuse to go out and have a great time, take the week off of work and party. I'm here at the convention center right now at Radio Row. It's buzzing. There's athletes all over the place. I was at Jay Glazer's Super Bowl party last night, and all the stars were out, and I think people love a reason to get dressed up and go out and party in Miami, and no better reason than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding. So talk about the game for us and the fact that the point total is so low, straight up that point and a half. I mean, what does that tell us? That it's just practically a pick 'em, right?
Well, the game actually opened up Pick'em, and then a lot of big bets came in early on Kansas City, and that moved the line to 1.5. And then the general population weighed in a little bit on that 1.5, feeling that perceived value, knowing that it was a Pick'em game, and then all of a sudden they were getting 1.5, and they bought back San Francisco a little bit, and that dropped the number to 1 where it's at now. The only thing that worries me about this game is that everyone I speak to, everyone whose opinion I value so dearly, they all love the Chiefs. So everyone really likes the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs as well. This is what worries me. But when you look at this game and you look at the performance of these teams over the course of the season, you know, it's Pitt as the best offense we've seen in a long time against one of the better defenses we've seen. But I'm not really sold on the San Francisco defense. I mean, I watched a game 2 weeks ago against the Packers, and coming into the second half, knowing that the Packers were down, they were going to have to throw pretty much on every single down. They didn't have to worry about a screen pass. They didn't have to worry about the draw. They can have their front four just pin their ears back, go after the quarterback, and sit back and wait for that pass, and they still couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers. He kind of went through them at will. I look back to the game against the Saints when San Francisco had a hard time containing Drew Brees. He lit them up like a Christmas tree, scored a touchdown in the first four possessions. I know that's a prolific offense, but so is this Kansas City offense. So I really don't see what everyone else is seeing in the San Francisco defense. I think that they get a lot of help from their home crowd. They love to play off that energy that the home crowd gives them. They won't have that this week. And I really believe this is a coming out party for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. All right. So right there with everybody else in the nation primarily picking the Chiefs. But you and I know, you know, the other thing about this is, and you gave a great description of what's happened to the 49ers and things that we didn't see with them. I'm from Philly, and we saw what happened with the Eagles, and of course that was a whole different team when we're talking about these two teams. But is there something, do you think, to the whole underdog thing? Like, I get that chip on my shoulder, like, hey, everybody's picking them, we'll show you. Do you think there is that little bit of edge for the 49ers?
Well, to me, it's a scary point. And by the way, I also worked in Philly many years on Broad Street. They should call it Tough Broad Street, because only tough broads come from Philly. But I can tell you that, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So going against the general public is okay throughout the course of the season. But with one game left and one game to bet on, that's not the time to be worrying about, you know, going against the general population and proving it to everybody that you're the genius and everybody else is a moron. They could be right this time. I think they are. Could it just be that easy? Sometimes it is. And as gamblers, that's what's so hard, because even when something looks really easy, we talk ourselves out of it and say, oh, if it's too easy, it must be a trap. You know, so we can't even, you know, allow ourselves to bet the easy ones. I really believe when this game came out as an odds maker, as a former bookmaker, you know, I made this line 3.5. Not one and not pick 'em. So just based on that, in my own personal betting strategy, if I'm making a line 3.5 and it's pick 'em or one, I've got to lay that 1 point if I believe in myself as an odds maker.
Yeah, there you go. Love that. So the total on the game, 54.5 points, right? Do you think that's pretty accurate, pretty right on?
Well, I think it is, because even though it seems like they'll hit that, you know, because of how great the offense is for Kansas City, you have to remind yourself that this is a team in San Francisco that only threw the ball 8 times in their last game. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot more than 8 times to beat Kansas City. You know, if Kansas City has a slow start like they did the last 2 games, to me that's a danger area for them. You know, but then again, if San Francisco gets down, I don't see them as the type of offense that can play catch-up. San Francisco only has one way to win. They got to stay close, and they got to, you know, the whole game and hope to win it at the end. Where Kansas City has so many ways to win. They can come from behind. They can blow you out. They can also get the ball back with 2 minutes to go in the game and a tie score and march down that field quicker than, you know, you can imagine and score that last touchdown or last field goal. So, and because it's only 1-1.5 game, that field goal is a big thing at the end, because it will cover the spread for you. So, yes, yeah. I do believe that the point spread is right. It makes it very hard to decide what to do. 54 points is a lot of points. If they take one quarter off and fall asleep, going to be hard to hit that number. But then you say to yourself, Patrick Mahomes is a guy that can score 3 or 4 touchdowns in one quarter. So, you know, it's a really tough decision. I personally like the game. I'm off the total.
I love that. All right, we're speaking with Steve Boudin again, picknation.com. You can find him there. Do you like any of these prop bets at all? I mean, they're fun.
Yeah,
do you
I do.
Like
any? I do, actually. But I would just preface it by saying, as a advice from one degenerate gambler to another who might be listening, don't overbet the props. Don't do something this game that you haven't done all season. Don't fool yourself into thinking that this is a special game from a gambling standpoint. It's just another game. It's just another betting opportunity. Definitely don't look to right all your wrongs from all year in this one game. If you're stuck $2,000 for the year, don't bet $3,000 on this game. Bet what you normally bet and what you can afford to bet and have a good time. With the props, you never want to be sitting in the second half only being able to tie the game because you disproportionately bet the props and because you bet a little too much on the over in the national anthem. Now the best you can do is tie the game instead of win the game. Make sure that no matter how many props you bet, that you can still watch the second half and have a chance to win money. So yes, I do like the props. I wouldn't overbet the props. There's one prop I like. I like Patrick Mahomes to score four, to throw for four touchdown passes or more. You get +3 to 1 on it. That's definitely something he's capable of doing, and 3 to 1 is good money.
Ooh, I like that. All right, Steve Boudin, so I got a couple last ones for you. How do you get into this racket? How did you think when you were a kid this is what you were going to do?
Right, when I was 12 years old serving corned beef sandwiches at an underground crap game in Brooklyn, did I actually think that I was going to be in the gambling business when I grew up? I think I did. You know, I always wanted to be a casino owner. I went to work for Caesars when I was in my 20s. I worked there for 4 years. I was the youngest casino junket executive in the business. I quickly learned in those 4 years that the only one that made money at Caesars was Caesar. So I shift gears and I moved offshore and opened up the first ever offshore sports book. My dad was a legendary bookmaker, so I don't think the fruit fell too far from the tree. I wasn't going to be president of the United States, but president of a gambling company, there was a good shot of that.
I love that. What do you think now with sports wide open? I mean, now we're legalized gambling popping up all over the place. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think a lot of people are seeing it and they don't know what they're looking at. But really what's going on is there's a lot of companies getting, and by the way, it was hard to imagine that the U.S. government would continue to sit and watch money pour out of this country for purposes of sports betting. And something that's as all American as apple pie. And that, you know, gamblers, when they send their money offshore to gamble, if they win, they roll it over until they lose and then they put more money in their account. So that money goes out of the country. It never returns. We don't get any taxes from the winners. We don't get any losses from the losers. We just watch money go out of the country. I didn't think that could happen for too long. However, now all the companies that are opening up, you know, thinking that there's a gold mine for sports betting profits, are really just competing for the $15 and $20 better. A lot of people don't realize that the average bet online is about $15. The guys that bet $1,000, the guys that bet $10,000, the guys that bet $5,000, these guys are still betting with the same guy on the corner that gives them credit, because no gambler who bets that kind of money likes to pay their tab in advance. They all think they're going to win by the end of the week, and they're all looking for credit, and none of these places give credit. So there's still two types of gambling businesses out there. There's the legal business, which handles the $15 better and the small guy, and then there's your traditional bookmaker who's been there forever. You know, there's one on every block in Philly, because in Philly that's the capital of bookmaking, and these guys are doing fine. They're still in business, not like the marijuana business, where as soon as it became legal, everyone called their dealer and said, "You must be rich. Rich? Are you kidding me? I'm out of business." Not the case with sports gambling. There's still the traditional sports gambling avenues for the bigger bettor, but the small bettor now can go to the racetrack, he can go to the casino, Penn Gaming, Parks Casino, he can go ahead and put his money down, and as a novice, experience for $15 something way better than a movie.
Yep, I love it. Perfect place to end this. Check out PickNation.com. Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, it was great to speak to you again.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, Scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success? And why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
On Author's Corner, we're taking you to Georgia. Boy, I had a great conversation with this woman off the air. Julie Rogers has written a book, a children's book, called Colton and the Bullfrog Adventure. I mean, first of all, bullfrogs, and I think of frogs, and my own childhood in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and the frogs croaking in the backyard. So immediately I knew I was going to like her, and this book is so clever. Julie, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about what made you decide you were going to write a children's book, because so many people have these ideas of writing a book, a children's book, a novel, or whatever, but they never do it. What inspired you to begin writing a children's book?
Well, I retired from teaching, and I've always felt that I wanted to write a book, but it took me nearly 6 years to decide to sit down and write one. But my grandchildren got behind me and wanted me to do it, so I pushed forward and decided to go ahead with it.
Now, it's interesting, you and I talked about one of your grandchildren, Colton, and he helped you with the book. That probably was motivating, but what was that like, do you think, through his eyes and being with him and doing this?
He was really excited about it, and he pushed me. He was really excited, and he pushed me onward. He was excited about studying the frog and wanting to know what frogs do. And when he found out I was going to really do this, he got behind me and kept making sure that I was on task. So he was really the one that was old enough to know what was going on. The others yeah. were excited, and when we started making funny sounds, they were really excited.
Yeah, we should explain to everyone. I think that's the interesting thing. And I bet there's people out there. I mentioned the croaking of the frogs, and it really is unique, isn't it? Because there's a lot of different sounds that frogs make. And I told you there's so many different kinds of frogs. It's amazing when you start to look into this. But I can only imagine what that was like having him learn those sounds. Were your was one of your in-laws and perhaps your own child ready to strangle you for teaching him that?
They were all ready to strangle all of us. The kids were running around the house making the frog sounds that we were making. They were excited about it. And they had learned something new, and they were sharing all the time for a few weeks there.
Oh, I bet that's so, so funny. So what did you and I talked about this too. What did you find out about frogs that was so interesting? Is it the sounds that they make?
Well, not only the sounds that they make, but we found out about their mating habits, the tadpoles. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. We found out about where they live and when they hunt. There were just a lot of things that we didn't know that were interesting.
Yeah, so it's not face value. You see a frog, but you don't realize it comes. It's like anything that we think of, right? And you were a teacher in our mind. So what's the deal with frogs? And there's much more to that than meets the eye, right?
Yes. Yes, wow. There's a lot more.
Uh-huh. I love that. And again, we're speaking with Julie Rogers. She's written a book called Colton and the Bullfrog Adventure. Some of you can relate that are grandparents out there, others with kids. And this is a children's book. Who did the illustrations for your book? They're beautiful.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you right now.
That's okay, because the reason I brought it up is because they did such a great job. And on the cover of the book, it's Joshua Allen who did the illustrations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. Joshua did a great job because you see in the back there's a flashlight and you can see the back of a man, a little boy, and then the light, and you see the frog with big eyes and the light shining on the frog. So is that a pond that's related to you? Do you have a pond near your house?
I have a small fish pond in my backyard.
Ah.
And we pretended. Our imagination worked overtime, and we pretended that was a pond in our backyard.
Oh, I love it. So tell us about writing the meat of the book. What is the, if I asked you, which I am asking you now, hey, we know it's about frogs. Tell us a little bit more. What is the book really about? What's the lesson in the book?
I feel like the lesson in the book is about respect. At that age, children today do not understand respect. They don't understand respect a lot of times for animals and a lot of times for adults. Elderly people are just my age. I'm not an elder. But they don't understand respect for people and for pets. And this is something that they need to learn. And that's what I felt like they would get from this story, is how to respect their grandparents and pets and also just wild animals. They need to learn this. And that's what Colton was doing. He was learning to respect frogs, to listen and respect frogs, and to respect his grandpa who's out there with him. and teaching him about wild animals.
Yeah, wow. And for your husband, putting the book together and saying you were going to do it, I would imagine in some ways, was he kind of speechless when it all came together? It's a beautiful looking book.
Yes, I think he was speechless. I think that he really wasn't sure whether I would do it. And then I think he was not sure that I would publish it. So he was actually, I think he was excited when I got that far.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it is published. You can get it on Amazon.com. That's one of the many places. Colton and the Bullfrog Adventure. And we're speaking with Julie Rogers about frogs, really, and about being with her grandson and then actually putting this together. So, you know, this is one grandchild. There's others that are going to want, and your children. Does everybody want a piece of this? And you're going to have to do books with everyone?
Well, they all say that I am. I've gone as far as two, so I guess I'm going to have to go to four.
Oh, I love it. Oh, what a great way to spend time with your grandchildren. There's no question about it. Julie, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right, so it was so interesting to talk about frogs, and you heard Julie to me because that's what, growing up, I can remember as soon as the summer hit, boom, hearing frogs and just the various noises, and that's what Julie, when we talked, and you heard there, that's what she said for a while, how the kids were running around and they were croaking like frogs. And so here on the Author's Corner, I just wanted to say this, that I looked this up, that, you know, there are 6,000 species of frogs. 6,000! Can you imagine that? And, of course, a frog, if you look up the definition of a frog, it's a member of a diverse and largely carnivorous group. This is what the definition is. Of short-bodied, tailless amphibians composing of the order Anura. Isn't that wild? I had no idea. But here's the other cool part about this, is that if you look at the origins of it, they go all the way back. They tie all the way back to 265 million years ago. And this is another thing Julie and I were talking about. You know, in your backyard, you see different frogs and you try to identify what kind of frogs they are. And I've been at a lot of different places where they have frogs from all over the place. They have the South American horned frog, which is beautiful looking. And then I think one of the most beautiful frogs that I've ever seen is a poison dart frog. And it's bluish. And it's this gorgeous little frog. And I've seen them in a couple of different aquariums that I've been to, including the Dallas World Aquarium. So pretty cool, huh? Your imagination, the frogs. So Colton and the Bullfrog Adventure, fun to hang out with Julie Rogers here on the Author's Corner. You can pick her book up again at Amazon.com.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.